Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom. Tensions are rising as the July 9th deadline looms for a crucial U.S.-India trade deal, with President Trump threatening an additional 10% tariff on BRICS nations, including India, for aligning with what he calls anti-American policies. The announcement, made via Truth Social, that's a social media platform, follows the BRICS summit in Rio, where leaders criticized U.S. tariffs as trade disruptive. Now, India's negotiating team has been racing to secure a deal protecting key sectors like textiles and pharma. Will India strike a balance or face steeper levies? We could get a deal with the U.S., possibly a mini deal anytime now. Why now? Because it's from 9:30 p.m. IST, that's about half an hour back, that America started the process of announcing trade deals or announcing tariffs, as the case may be. And they've already started doing that with a country as big as Japan, a very major trading partner of theirs. Will there be an announcement of an India trade deal? That's what America wants, that's what India wants. But we haven't apparently quite reached 100% consensus on that. That's what we are waiting to see. Let's go straight across to NDTV's Disha Bhakti. But before we go across to her, let's just listen in to what the U.S. president is saying right now. Bring you the latest on that entire Japan situation in a little while from now, but 25% tariffs announced there. But as we get set for more details, perhaps with the big announcement, we still don't know. What we can do is track what the big India issues are. Remember, it's a big announcement by Trump. The first tariff letters are now being issued. He's imposed a 25% tariff on Japan. He's imposed a 25% tariff on South Korea. We still don't know about India as yet. So we look at that in a moment, but let's start with this. What exactly is India looking for in this situation? What are India's, what the U.S. wants is access to India's dairy and agricultural products. That's what America wants. But India's got concerns, traffic concessions on agricultural goods for India is a big no-no. We want to protect the interests of our farmers. We'll get into why. One of the reasons is that the average Indian farm is 1 hectare in size. A U.S. farm is 187 hectares. It's the small farmer that India seeks to protect from a flood of American agricultural or dairy items, which might have a huge impact on them. Another point of concern for India is America's genetically modified crops. Remember, we have legal concerns on the presence of GM crops here in India. Again, one of the reasons for that is the need to protect our own farmers and our traditional way of agriculture. And so New Delhi wants to be focused on protecting farmers. So to have GM crops, so genetically modified crops, is an issue for New Delhi. So those are some of the key issues which are problematic. But let's go on to the next set of points which could actually work. This is something which I suggest, I dare say, could be a win-win. America wants whiskey, cars, and subsidies to be slashed. There is a good possibility of India actually going ahead and saying that, look, that is something that might happen. But India is focused on finding a middle ground. So it's not as if everything that America suggests is automatically going to be accepted by India. What will that middle ground be? And would that be a mini deal ahead of a mega deal, which might happen later on? We don't know. So mini deal, it would still be a game changer for India if we reduce tariffs on certain areas, allow America greater access into our market, and India then benefits a great deal as well. But let's get a little bit more specific in terms of the India-US trade deal, what India will not budge on. Now, remember, in as much as Trump pushes and India wants to meet them halfway, there are certain issues we cannot budge on, which is why the possibility of a mini deal is what we're looking at this stage. What America wants is an export of genetically modified corn for ethanol use in India. What is our position? Genetically modified crops are banned. So what America therefore wants is they want to bypass food safety concerns by limiting it to fuel. In other words, genetically modified fuel, genetically modified crops which generate fuel. They say, okay, fine, you have concerns on food items. Let's limit it to fuel. However, if that is to take place, for example, in blended fuels, which is what we are talking about over here, then the domestic corn producers in India may be hit. So that's a cause of concern. Will they find a way around this? What America wants to bypass some of our concerns as I mentioned, to limit it to fuel. India stands, sugar mills fear losing ethanol market share. So it's the entire issue of ethanol. If ethanol was to come into India, as America suggests it might come, then it could have an impact on India. So America wants to sell fuel-grade ethanol to India, but we already have an ethanol program which supports Indian farmers. If there is cheaper ethanol which comes in, then that becomes potentially problematic for India. The goal is fuel independence, not a reliance on imports. And ethanol and the entire program over there is something which the government has worked on for a while. So only non-fuel ethanol imports, right, could be allowed, is what India's stance presently is. Let's go to the next set of points on what America wants. They want an open market for genetically modified soya bean and protein-rich soya cake. India says that genetically modified soya is allowed only as oil, not as bean or as feed. So, you know, these are technical issues, but again, the impact on India's farmers, the farm, it's huge. Politically huge, the livelihood of farmers potentially impacted. So India wants to protect Indian farmers in the states that I mentioned over there, MP, Maharashtra and Rajasthan, when it comes to genetically modified soybeans, which America wants. Another concern is that, you know, I mean, the price of soya, for example, in India, domestic soya prices is already below the minimum support price. If the market were to be flooded by imports from America, then that potentially gets even worse for our farmers. The next set of points that we're looking at over here is, again, what India will not budge on. And I dare say that this might be the toughest issue to find common ground. America wants to access India's gigantic dairy market, sell us dairy products. However, India has high tariffs, but again, that is to protect our domestic dairy, our domestic dairy farmers. It very much the bedrock of what all of us survive on, dairy at so many levels. America wants to remove bans on imports from cow-fed animal products. This is a culturally sensitive issue. I'm going to spend a few moments to talk about this. At the moment, America, whenever there is an agricultural import, the worry, therefore, is what is that dairy import which is coming in? Are there, for example, cow-fed animal byproducts which are a part of the dairy items which America wants to sell India? Now, obviously, if it is a dairy item which has been cow-fed, then that becomes problematic for India because of our deep cultural and religious reasons behind import restrictions in this area. That is not something that can ever change. And I think America would need to understand that. That's obviously politically untouchable, not just in terms of protecting farmers, but in terms of our culture, our traditions. You cannot have dairy items which have potentially relied on cow-fed animal byproducts, all right? So that's perhaps one of the biggest issues. Let's go straight across now to Mukesh Aghi, President and CEO of USISPF. Mr. Aghi, thanks very much for being with us. Now, we've seen America already starting to announce, you know, what Japan, 25%, tariffs with Japan. Is there an expectation that with India in the next, I don't know, a couple of minutes, couple of hours, we could see the trade deal being rolled out?
Yes, I think the expectations are that there would be some kind of an interim trade deal between U.S. and India, and it should be announced because you have to understand, with all the countries, so far the trade deal is with U.K. and also with Vietnam. With China, what U.S. has is more like an interim understanding. India would be the most largest trade deal between the two countries, and we expect that announcement coming very, very soon.
Now, what we are considering at this juncture is a mini deal, right? We're not likely looking at that dream deal which Trump may have had in mind, because there are issues where India just won't budge. Is that something America is likely to accept? For example, agriculture and the dairy sectors?
No, absolutely. I think U.S. understands that dairy is a red line for India because it has religious connotations,
yep.
especially basically meat being fed to the cows in the U.S. India, U.S. understands that the farm agriculture is a big issue because when you have over 50% of the labor on farms producing 16% of GDP, that's a sensitive issue. And I think there is some understanding on that also. I think where the challenges were more on the non-tariff barriers, and they've been kept aside. The whole, at the moment, U.S. and India have agreed on almost 6,000 items between the two countries where they're able to reciprocate an agreement. Both sides understand that if you have a trade deal, it will grow the business between the two countries or the trade between the two countries by 64%. And studies have shown that it does have an impact of almost 1% on GDP growth also and creates jobs for both countries. So the interim deal should be a win-win deal between the two countries. And we hope to see some kind of announcement coming soon, either today or tomorrow, from President Trump.
Mr. Hagi, the fact that Donald Trump today said that there'd be a 10% tariff burden on nations affiliated with BRICS, India, of course, a key member, a founder member of BRICS. Therefore, that's a hurdle, isn't it? It just suddenly popped up.
Yes, we were surprised, but I don't think that should come in because you make statements and you make statements for the sake of making statements. And I don't think that should come into the trade discussion because both sides have been working since January with sincerity to come make sure that there is a reciprocal agreement between the two countries and a win-win agreement between the two countries. And so I think it is important that U.S. is not only looking at trade between the two countries, it's looking at geopolitically also. Because if you put 25% tariff on South Korea and Japan and then have a large tariff on Chinese goods and on Vietnam, then U.S. companies are looking at India as an alternative site, not only just to manufacture, but also market access.
Just so that I get an understanding from you, you know, you're speaking about South Korea and Japan, 25% tariffs levied on Japan, for example, one of America's biggest trading partners. Was that largely expected? Was there a reluctance on the part of Japan to budge from the position that they've typically held when it comes to, you know, several sectors of their economy?
Well, I think the main area was on the auto components, yes. and auto cars,
yes.
itself.
Yes.
There was absolutely no sense of discussion. They just broke down. Whereas in the case of India, said, let's find a solution, let's find a common ground. And they focus on trying to structure a win-win deal, whereas there was a breakdown with Japan. Yes, it's an ally, it's a treaty ally, so is South Korea. But you have to understand that the approach taken by Prime Minister Modi and the administration was, let us find a common ground, let us find a win-win value proposition that's going to help both countries. And that seems to have worked very well for India.
Rishabh Bhatnagar from NDTV Profit joins me at this stage, my colleague. Rishabh, just fill us in for the benefit of our viewers in absolutely simple terms, right? What are some of the low-hanging fruits over here which India and America can agree on? And therefore, what might be cheaper for you and me should we get the opportunity to buy these items? What might be cost-effective for America when they import items from India, and which items would those be?
Right, Vishnu. Firstly, as part of this interim trade deal, the ambit is expected to be pretty narrow. It's only expected to cover goods. We can only expect very specific custom duty reductions on certain sectors, on certain goods. Some of which India's demands obviously have been that labor-intensive sectors like leather, footwear, textiles, sectors that employ a lot of, that generate a lot of jobs here in India, employ a lot of people, those should be protected and India should get sustained preference versus other manufacturing economies in this region. So, for example, a Bangladesh, a Thailand, or Vietnam, India wants to be preferred over these economies when it comes to manufacturing so that more of these things come. So therefore, India should then back for lower tariffs on these as well. So that is something that will, that should get cheaper going into the US from India. Talking about goods that might come in, India can actually sort of cut short tariffs on certain key goods, on certain key agri goods as well. That is something that has been a pain point so far, as we've seen. But certain nuts or certain fruits like apples, walnuts, stuff like that, India can actually concede ground there because we almost entirely rely on those exports coming in from the US as well. So these are some of the things that might get cheaper. These are some of the focus areas of this mini trade deal or this interim trade deal that we are looking forward to. Other sticky points, other discussions and red lines might be picked up on later. September or October is when we expect the first big tranche of this deal to come out, and then a full deal at least a year later. So okay, that is what we are looking at right now.
Mr. Agi, I'll ask you the sort of same question which I asked my colleague Rishabh. You know, fruits, walnuts, whiskey as well, some of the areas, American bourbon, which might get cheaper potentially in India. What about the EV space? Because we protect our EV industry, right? America wants some of those duties to come down. What are some of the areas where things might get cheaper for us in India as a result of many more American items coming in?
Well, you have to look at, for example, as Rishabh mentioned, on the nut side, India imports roughly $1 billion plus worth of almonds from California. Mm-hmm. And because there's a growing need as the spending power goes up, people are spending more money in that area. So you will see some of those stuff getting cheaper itself. In the area of autos, especially EVs, yes, you have a policy which India put together. India will follow upon that policy, and we are seeing the announcement being made by Tesla to opening showrooms in Gurgaon and Mumbai itself. So, but the overall impact on the consumer side, I don't see much because India does not import much consumer items from the United States. The big ticket items, airplanes, defense equipment, they are not impacted because there was not much duty being put on early on. I think it's more of an issue of India's export into the United States. When you look at gem and jewelry, which is almost a $9 to $10 billion worth of export, that's where India is focused on, to making sure that the labor intensive does not get impacted. And what we have seen, the numbers the last 3 months, even with 10% duty, those exports are still going up in the United States. So that means Indian goods are quite competitive. But more important is I think India has to look at its neighbors, for example, China and Vietnam, because that's where the U.S. companies' manufacturing is. If India can maintain 10% and these countries are at 20, 30%, then there'll be incentive for U.S. companies to move their manufacturing into India so they can export from India into the United States. So it's not just about basic tariff, how it impacts the consumer goods. It's also impact on geopolitically on the and also on the supply chain.
What about the Indian farmer sector? How is that? How is the Indian farmer sector closely watching what's happening in terms of these announcements when they do happen?
Well, 40% of the prescription drugs in the United States come from India. And with the current budget cut on Medicaid and Medicare, yes, drugs will get much more dear in the United States. So I think from political perspective, it won't be right on the part of Trump administration to put more tariff on those goods because that's going to impact their vote bank itself. In fact, we are encouraged to see how you can bring in more critical drugs, just like cancer treatment drugs from India into the U.S. So there is a discussion going on as to how to manage that. But overall, Indian exports of pharma goods into the U.S. So basically subsidizes and supports hundreds of billions of dollars in savings to the U.S. government. So I think I don't see that direction being picked up and a massive amount of tariffs being put on pharma goods coming from India.
This is not really related to this, but there is this a lot of rhetoric from Donald Trump about the need for American companies to take their business, in some cases, out of India. I'm talking about Apple, take it back to the United States. India is doing quite well. We're a strong country, he says, but bring your business back over here. Now, that's all very well for the U.S. president to say that, but then Apple moved in many ways out of China, came over here. They believe that, their work is best done in India. If you've got a U.S. president saying, no, move it back from India, right back to America, where does that leave the trade equation between both countries and the possibility of India sort of bringing in or continuing to have world-class American companies and manufacturers?
You have to understand a CEO has a fiduciary responsibility to shareholders. On the average, it's 60% cheaper to manufacture goods outside the U.S. In the case of Apple, if you move and start manufacturing in the U.S., the cost of iPhone will go up to almost $3,500, and no consumer is going to pay for that kind of money. Whereas when if you manufacture in India and still pay 25% duty, it's still cheaper from that perspective. It is important to understand that the movement of U.S. companies into India is not just about manufacturing in India for the U.S., but it's also about going after domestic market. Today, Apple has almost $8 billion revenue in domestic Indian market itself. And we're seeing more and more of those companies coming in from that perspective. So yes, a president can say, move back your manufacturing, but we don't have the labor. We don't have the cost efficiency in the U.S. to deal with that kind of manufacturing. Today, we have almost 400,000 shortage of manufacturing workers in the market today. So I think companies will struggle. And what we will see is more of a trend where you will see high-end manufacturing moving into the U.S., but overall manufacturing will stay outside the U.S. for international market and also for the U.S. market itself. And a classic example is semiconductors. U.S. is focused on building semiconductors which are 7 nanometers and below, and India is focused on 15 and above. So there is a partnership. You know, I say this is where Atmanirbhar Bharat and Make in America works very well for each other. So I think you'll see some kind of a balance coming in as far as not moving all manufacturing into the U.S.
All right. Mr. Agi, be with us. I've also got Ashok Malik with us and Rahul Ahluwalia. Rahul is the founder director of the Foundation of Economic Development. Ashok Malik needs no introduction, partner and chair India at the Asia Group. Ashok, let's look at it from a broader geostrategic standpoint right now. Trump is playing hardball. He's known to do that. All of a sudden, there's this BRICS announcement where he says that if you are a member of BRICS, then, you know, a 10% additional sort of tariff comes into play. That really comes in the way of achieving what India and America were likely close to achieving, right?
To be honest, as Mukesh very correctly said, he does have a tendency to react to the headline of today, and the BRICS summit was the headline yesterday. Yes. Various members of the Trump administration have said that they will act against BRICS if BRICS adopts a non-dollar currency as the reserve currency of the world. India has made it clear on numerous occasions. Foreign Minister, or External Affairs Minister Jaishankar has said this at least twice in my recollection, that India has no such desire. This is something the Chinese have proposed, something the Russians have spoken about. India has not. So I don't see a BRICS-wide tariff coming in. If certain BRICS countries undertake certain measures that Trump sees as inimical to American interests, he might impose extra tariffs on them. But unless BRICS as a collective moves against American interest and comes up with a non-dollar reserve currency, which India has said it has no intention of doing, I don't see a BRICS-wide tariff coming, to be honest. That apart, there is the rhetoric of the trade negotiations. He is playing hardball, but not just India, with many other countries. But quite honestly, the fact is India started negotiating not a tariffs agreement, but a trade agreement much earlier than many other countries. And it's one of the few countries which is actually negotiating a trade agreement in a structured and layered way, in a sequential way. You're starting with goods and customs duties on goods. You're moving to further supply chain integration. And then, of course, the big question is of digital trade. which is where the future really lies, including the future of the American economy.
Right.
So this is going to be a 2 or 3 stage process. The trade deal that will hopefully get announced today or tomorrow, if it does, is tranche 1A. Then we'll have tranche 1B, and then we'll have tranche 2. So it is the beginning of a long process. And what can we import from the U.S.? Yes, we can't import lots of agricultural goods. We can't import lots of dairy, though I suspect we can import some types of cheese. But yes, we can import pecan nuts. We can import almonds. We can import fruit. We can also import and get access to many commodities, including certain types of steel, certain types of metals, certain types of chemicals, which can actually assist Indian competitiveness. And in terms of what India can export, frankly, it all depends on where our tariffs sit vis-a-vis two countries, China and Vietnam. If we have a substantial advantage over those two countries, then in certain areas, electronics, textiles, footwear, shoes and sports goods, we can get manufacturing supply chains to move to India to take advantage of that tariff differential. So there are opportunities here.
All right. Rahul, the point that both Mukesh Aghi and Ashok Malik were talking about, India's relative position vis-a-vis a country like, let's say, Vietnam. Would we, in a sense, be hoping that we are better placed than Vietnam to make us more competitive in the American market?
Very much so. I think that is going to be one of the key elements. I think when we do our analysis, we discover that India as a market is about 10 to 20% more costly to manufacture in relative to Vietnam, relative to China, because of scale reasons, because of ease of doing business reasons. And a tariff that is lower than Vietnam or China would offset that disadvantage. It would allow companies to shift here. So it's a very important thing for us.
And Rahul, if we were to look at a mini deal now, and that's what everybody seems to suggest, what would that mini deal be? And everyone on this panel is holding out hope for a mega deal. If there were to be a mega deal, we've identified so many areas where we have problems, then what would that mega deal constitute?
I think two things. One, I'm actually less hopeful than most people that a mini deal will happen because the U.S. has not shown any indication or any inclination for anything of the sort so far with other countries. I mean, if it happens, it's great. But the UK and Vietnam deals have been very comprehensive and very much unilateral. So the UK and Vietnam have both made all the concessions that the US has asked for and still ended up with 10 and 20% tariffs. So I'm not as sanguine as other folks, but if it happens, great. The mega deal, I think the best case scenario would be something like the UK deal, right? Where we made some concessions on auto, and the UK made lots of concessions on labor-intensive sectors, the kind of sectors that Ashok was talking about. And that's a very, very positive deal for us because we are very strong in those sectors. And I don't expect that Indians are going to line up to buy British cars anytime soon. And it's the same story with the US. So Tesla is possibly the only car manufacturer that will be able to sell anything in India. And aside from that, it's all advantage India.
All right. Mr. Aghi, if I were to ask you about what the potential contours of a mega deal could look like, what would that be to you?
It's difficult to say that because we have a lot of red lines between the two countries. Obviously, India can't open up its dairy sector. It can't open up its agriculture sector. And one of the largest exports of the U.S. is agriculture. So I don't see a mega deal happening, but I do expect some kind of a deal taking place beyond interim deal where both countries feel that they can drive job creation, drive economic GDP growth between the two countries. And I think you have to understand these trade deals are also geopolitical implication. Why is it that U.S. has put 40% tariff on Vietnam for goods coming out of China as transit into Vietnam and coming to the U.S. because it's trying to, in the long term, choke the China supply chain coming to the U.S. So I think the mega deal would be, is from our perspective, is if India can have enough advantage to be able to move manufacturing from Vietnam, Cambodia, and China into the U.S., into India, and to be able to provide cost-effectively these goods to the U.S. market. And we are seeing that. I think if you look at gem and jewelry, which is, as I mentioned earlier, a $9-plus billion export from India to the U.S. itself, or even on 10% tariff basis, that their exports have gone up by 15%. So I think India can adjust to the environment and still be efficient. We just need to fix our basically logistics supply chain domestically from a cost perspective, ease of doing business, and India can compete on a world platform then.
Ashok, just briefly to talk about the larger geopolitical implications, I won't get into the broader strategic relationship. You know, we can talk about that some other time. But there seems to be this fundamental difference between America and India on, you know, we want to make in India. We have a model of Atmanirbharta. We invite other countries to come in over here. In the case of America, we've got, for example, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Apple, just off the top of my head, doing great business over here in India. But Donald Trump is absolutely clear. It has to be back to make in America. Make America great again economically too. It's not, what I'm asking you is not directly linked to a trade deal between India and America, but isn't this fundamental difference in vision, you know, something that's problematic towards each country achieving, you know, what we both seek?
Vishnu, it's been 6 months or thereabouts since Trump came to power, and obviously he's playing hardball. He's front-loading all the tough arguments. Now, if you look at Boeing, for instance, Boeing is chock-a-block with orders from India, from many Indian airlines, from other airlines. It's really chock-a-block with orders. It's not being able to supply those planes because it has supply chain issues back home. It has factory issues back home. It has, labor issues back home. It needs to diversify part of its supply chain to other countries, including to India. So, and that will, of course, you know, help American company, an iconic American company, sell more planes worldwide. So eventually, as Mukesh said, America needs to decide what it should make and what it need not make. Cutting edge chips, America will make. Legacy chips, it need not make alone. It can diversify, it can make some at home, it can diversify some to trusted partners. I do believe behind the rhetoric of getting trade concessions in the immediate aftermath of taking over as president, there will be some sort of a middle ground that will come in. Okay. Whether that will come 6 months from now or 1 year from now, I don't know. But quite honestly, this sort of trade and tariff unilateralism is not sustainable even for the American economy.
Rahul, final question to you before I move on to my next topic this evening. India and the US have set some massive targets on bilateral trade. When we saw the initial numbers, they seem to be quite unrealistic. And perhaps those numbers will never be achieved. But how important is a trade deal between India and America to come close to those aspirations?
It's difficult to overstate the importance, honestly. The U.S. is the largest economy in the world. It's a very advanced economy. And therefore, it's a very complementary economy for India, which means that the stuff that we can make cheaply and easily, they cannot. And similarly, the stuff that they can make cheaply and easily, we cannot. And for these reasons, a trade deal is very, very beneficial to both countries. It is very important. The US is also the most dynamic advanced economy on Earth. Europe, UK, all of these countries have been stagnating broadly for the last 15 to 20 years. The US today is almost double the per capita GDP of these countries, whereas just 15, 20 years ago, it was almost 80%. These countries were 80%, so they're very close. So the US is very, very important. I would not overstate the importance. We should try our very best to achieve a mutually beneficial trade deal with them.
All right, Mr. Mukesh Shaghi, Ashok Malik, and Rahul Ahluwalia, thank you all very much for joining us. We're still waiting for that agreement to be announced at any time now. My colleague Disha has got her tentacles into what the White House may be thinking, perhaps even Donald Trump, apparently on the hotline with Trump right now. So do we have any idea when this deal is going to happen?
So far, we don't have a lot of indication. What we do know that he's announced the first couple of countries, the letters to the first couple of countries, which is Japan and South Korea, imposing a 25% tariff. Now, in terms of what this really means, for Japan, it automatically means that the tariff rates are back to what they were on April 2nd when Donald Trump announced those Liberation Day tariffs. And this was, again, expected because talks between the two countries weren't going very well. Just a couple of weeks ago, Trump called Japan spoiled, saying that they are not looking at reducing tariffs on the US, so hence he is not going to look at that either. And this letter was expected. And similarly for South Korea as well, this announcement was expected, but we are still waiting to hear whether we can expect an announcement of a deal with India or whether US will look at imposing tariffs. So that letter is still awaited. But what this means for both Japan and South Korea also is that this is in addition to the sector-specific tariffs that both these countries were facing, which is on metal and auto parts, which is, again, 50%. So this is quite a big blow to both countries, and we're already seeing the U.S. markets reacting. Dow is down 400 points, and this is only going to expected to decline further. Even on during April, when the Liberation Day tariffs were announced, there was a massive meltdown in the American markets. So just it's a matter of wait and watch, really, Vishnu.
All right, Disha, thank you very much for joining us with all of those details. We're going to be looking very, very closely in the next while on what actually holds for that deal. Let's wait. Let's see what happens in the next couple of hours.